to inform and engage voters and perhaps encourage more of that. This is In the Public Interest here on 89.1 WEMU, our biweekly conversation with the League of Women Voters of the Ann Arbor area. This is Lisa Berry, and this week we're joined by Local League Immediate Past President Sue Smith. Welcome back, Sue.
Thanks, Lisa. It's great to be here to talk to you again.
You stepped down from that position how long ago?
Just a few days ago.
Today we're talking about Proposal 2, which you may recall was approved by Michigan voters just last November. Can you remind us what that's all about?
Yes, Proposal 2 created an independent citizens redistricting commission that would have the responsibility for drawing the lines for the district maps for the state legislature and the U.S. Congress beginning in 2021.
And this is the issue I think a lot of people associate with gerrymandering?
Absolutely. It's because Michigan is one of the worst gerrymandered states in the country that once people understood that that was the case, the voters overwhelmingly passed Proposal 2. I think it was around 60% of the voters approved Proposal 2, creating this independent redistricting commission.
Let's talk about that commission. Has it been established yet?
No, and it's good that we have this opportunity to encourage people to apply because late in this year, sometime around November, December, the Secretary of State office will make applications available. And you can get on the commission in one of two ways. You can either fill out an application that will be on the Secretary of State's website, or you might be one of those who's randomly chosen to receive an application from the Secretary of State. She has to send out 10,000 randomly chosen applications to people who might not have applied.
Well, that'll be interesting. So that could just show up in your mail one day.
It could.
And how many members will be on the commission?
13. 4 self-described Democrats, 4 self-identified Republicans, and 5 self-identified persons who are not members of either party.
And who will make the final decision on who gets selected?
The whole thing is a random process. It's really quite interesting, except that there are opportunities for the majority and minority leadership in the legislature to strike up to 5 persons each from the list of 200.
We're talking to Sue Smith, immediate past president of the League of Women Voters of the Ann Arbor area, about the Michigan constitutional change Michigan voters approved last November to redraw the maps for the legislative and congressional districts following the 2020 census. Once the commission is formed, then what happens?
There's quite an elaborate process, and it was outlined in the ballot proposal and now in the Constitution. They have to meet a certain number of times in different parts of the state. The meetings have to be open to the public and available in streaming online.
Can you explain some of the criteria of what the commission must follow when redrawing the districts?
Yes, and it's interesting because these were in the ballot proposal that was passed, and so now they're in the Constitution, and therefore they have to be followed. And the first one is the equal population requirement that is required nationwide because of the U.S. Supreme Court decision saying one person, one vote, and they have to comply with the Voting Rights Act. They have to be geographically contiguous. So, for example, I live in southeastern Michigan. I couldn't be in a district that's on Mackinac Island, for example. And they have to reflect the state's diversity and communities of interest. Communities of interest is probably where there's going to be interesting conversations as people try to define, well, what is a community of interest? Is it a group of agricultural communities? Is it people who live in an urban area? Is it people who live on an Indian reservation? What is a community of interest? And then it has to not give a disproportionate advantage to any political party. This is very important because, of course, the legislature, like legislatures across the country, whatever party is in power, draws them in such a way to be to their advantage, and this would be prohibited by this criterion. It cannot favor or disfavor an incumbent. It's supposed to reflect county, city, and township boundaries. Some of our district lines in Michigan currently divide up counties and cities and township. The constitutional amendment is pretty clear about how the commission has to operate, and I'm sure that if they don't follow that, there will be people going to court suing the commission for not following the Constitution as it was amended.
How time-consuming would it be for someone who ends up on the Citizens Redistricting Commission? And I understand they're compensated as well?
Yes, they are compensated. Their salary is to be equal to at least 25% of the governor's salary. In 2018, when this was passed, the governor's salary was $159,000. So each person on the commission would receive, under that formula, almost $40,000 per year. This is going to be very time-consuming. Not only are they going to be overseeing the drawing of the maps, and of course, they will hire experts to actually draw the maps, just as the legislature has hired their own experts, but they will also be holding a lot of hearings all over the state of Michigan and providing lots of opportunities for public input and having lots of discussions. It's going to take quite a bit of time.
I'm wondering, you're compensated nearly $40,000. Can you keep your day job and do this?
I suppose it depends on what your day job is and how much flexibility
you
have. I think this is an exciting opportunity for citizens to be involved in the drawing of these maps. It's exciting for the voters in the state of Michigan because we will end up with fair maps where the voter will have a fair representation, and quite contrast to what is the case at the moment.
How long do you think this whole process is going to take?
Well, the commission is going to start meeting in October of 2020, and they have to adopt a plan by November 1st, 2021. They have to have at least 10 public hearings around the state before they draft any plan. Then they have to publish whatever proposed plans they come up with, along with the supporting data and materials that they used. And then they have to have more public hearings to allow citizen input on those proposed plans. These meetings have to be open meetings with advance notice and records kept, and they can hire statisticians and other nonpartisan experts to help advise them. Now, they will be using the census data from the 2020 census, which brings up the importance of the census because it all depends on the census. So if we don't have an accurate count of the number of people actually residing in a particular area, those people will actually end up being underrepresented.
Sue Smith, immediate past president of the Local League, thanks so much for joining us on this edition of In the Public Interest here on 89.1 WEMU.
Thank you, Lisa. It's been a pleasure to be here.